Eileen Gray. Does this name ring a bell? I'm sure you've heard of Le Corbusier, but Eileen Gray? Well, Eileen Gray is considered by many to be one of the most important designers of the last century, one who walked the world at the same time as Le Corbusier, and always, it seemed, had old Corbu's attention. Her furniture designs are also known by those in the know. While she went largely unlauded in her lifetime, in 2009 her dragon chair was sold at Christie's in Paris for £19 million, becoming one of the most expensive pieces of modern design. So who was this woman and where does Le Corbusier fit into her story? To talk about her life and legacy, I'm joined by Edwin Heathcote, architecture writer for the Financial Times. Edwin, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, you write in a recent article in the Financial Times that the story of Eileen Gray is one of the most extraordinary stories in modern architecture. Her house, which she designed, E1027, is a significant player in this story. So can you tell us what E1027 is?
It's a beautiful modern house on the coast, the Côte d'Azur, very close to Monaco. It sits on the side of a cliff overlooking the sea. It's an incredibly elegant piece of minimal modern architecture. Fluid walls, huge windows, plate glass walls looking out over the sea. It's as radical as anything built in the period. For a long time now, it's been derelict. It's one of the key monuments of early 20th century architecture, and finally now it's being restored.
Now, it started in 1925 when Eileen Gray, who was Anglo-Irish, was persuaded by her lover, the Romanian architect and critic Jean Badovici, to build the house. And she called it E1027 because that actually entwines their initials, doesn't it?
Exactly. I actually now can't remember exactly what the code was.
I think it was Jean 10 Badovici 2 Gray 7.
Yes.
Now, as you say, the house is being restored after an interesting history, and we'll talk about the restoration in a minute or so, but let's just look at some of that fascinating history. Le Corbusier is a key player in the story. He was a regular visitor to the house, and it may well have been one of the last things that he saw, because he died in the sea nearby in 1965. Did he have a love-hate relationship with the place, and was Gray truly Le Corbusier's only true competitor, although this was not acknowledged at the time?
It's an absolutely fascinating question. I don't know. I think probably love-hate does sum it up. He was the greatest architect of his age, certainly in France. And here, in the part of France that he loved, came up this villa by Eileen Gray, who no one had really ever heard of. She was an interior decorator at best. She had a few kind of art pieces of furniture in her Paris showroom that went to a few wealthy people, but she wasn't influential. She was pretty much unheard of. She certainly wasn't an architect. She'd never built anything in her life. And suddenly this house comes up, and Corbusier was obviously fascinated, but obviously envious as well. It was, frankly, as radical and as intriguing a piece of architecture as he'd ever designed himself. And I think he must have been irked.
But once E1027 was built, why didn't that change her reputation? Was this old-fashioned sexism, the idea that architect at this level was only for men? Was it because of the overwhelming presence of Le Corbusier?
At this distance, at this remove, it's hard to say exactly why it was, but you have to think sexism plays a part. You have to think that women weren't intended to be architects in those days, and somehow it was a bit of a shock to the system when they saw a beautiful creation coming from a woman. Perhaps something that might encourage other women to become architects, which maybe wasn't a desirable thing. Obviously, she wasn't French, and because she was Anglo-Irish, in a way she wasn't really English or British either. As an Anglo-Irish woman in France, she didn't fit into any establishment at all. And I think beyond that, she wasn't a proselytizer, so she wasn't a theorist. Corbusier built a house, and then he'd write famously two books about it. He would make sure that everyone got every point about what he was trying to do, through publication, through lecture, through illustrative drawings. Gray wasn't like that at all. She just built the house to live in.
She built this house, but she had no architectural training. What do you make of her understanding of architecture and the process of building?
It is necessary to say that John Badovici, her lover, was an architect, and he was extremely aware as a critic of contemporary developments in architecture around Europe, and of course of Corbusier. So he must have had some influence on the building, and I think his influence certainly would have been in the realization of the building, in the kind of materials it was built from, in how it was built. You can only guess that he and his contact had quite a lot of input into how the thing was built.
This is By Design on ABC Radio National. I'm Alan Saunders, and today my guest is the architectural writer and critic Edwin Heathcote. A fan of the designer Eileen Gray, a woman who designed one of the most important houses of the 20th century, E1027. Le Corbusier was a contemporary and a frequent visitor to the house. Edwin, let's look at the relationship between Gray and Le Corbusier and what happened to E1027. Gray's relationship with Jean Badovici ended in 1932. Badovici kept the house as his, and the story of the house is interesting because Le Corbusier, uninvited, painted a series of murals on its lower walls. What's the significance of these?
Well, you began the conversation with a question about whether there was a love-hate relationship between Corbusier and this house. And I think the paintings are the perfect example of this kind of tension. He obviously loved this house. He was a frequent visitor. And there obviously was this relationship with Badovici looking up to Corbusier and being extremely flattered that one of his heroes was coming to visit the house. But of course, the reason Corbusier was visiting the house was Gray's design, possibly Gray herself as well, I don't know. But I guess the house became an object of fixation. Corbusier's painting of the murals on the lower floors was a kind of defacement, and more than a defacement, the sort of nude figures and the fact that Corbusier himself loved to paint in the nude himself has to be seen as a kind of sexual gesture. And whether it's a sexual gesture against the memory of Eileen Gray or against the house or against the kind of willing rage that Corbusier had against this wonderful object, it's impossible to say.
They're kind of sort of sub-Picasso, aren't they, the pictures?
They are. He was a competent painter, but these particular works are very much of their type, but they're a little pedestrian.
Le Corbusier then built a house for himself nearby, and in fact it was the only house he designed and had built for himself. Can you explain this? It's surely significant that the only house he ever designed for himself was near the house he was most attracted to and most worried by.
You're right, it has to be significant. But the house itself is an extraordinary thing. It's the exact opposite of Gray's house. It's a hut. And when I say a hut, I don't mean that as a kind of metaphor. I mean, it really is a very small cabin, almost like a kind of bathing cabin. It's a little log-clad garden shed, almost, an absolutely tiny thing, a real minimal dwelling. Now, Corbusier was always searching for a kind of minimal existence. What's the minimal space that a person can exist in? And this was an experiment in that. But I have to wonder whether it wasn't also a kind of acknowledgement that he couldn't build a villa there because he had the competition of Eileen Gray's thing next to it, and maybe that potentially he was nervous about building next to it, about his building looking bad in comparison. So you have to wonder whether he didn't build an entirely different type of dwelling precisely to avoid the comparison.
Is there anything else to be said about Le Corbusier's relationship with the house and with Eileen Gray? How did their lives otherwise intertwine?
Well, from what I understand, they weren't great friends. So he was a frequent visitor to the house, but Gray was never enamoured with Corbusier. And as far as I understand, the relationship ended when she split from Jean Badovici and stopped using the house. She passed the house on to Badovici. She allowed him to use it in the future. For Corbusier, it obviously didn't end there. He kept building around the area. He built his cabanon, he called it, this little bathing cabin, which was his little swimming retreat. And then in later years, he built a youth hostel further up the hill, as if he had to build something above the building to dominate it. So he just couldn't keep away from there.
Now, the house is being restored, so let's look at this. Who's doing the restoring and why?
It's a number of bodies coming together to restore the house. The Conservatoire L'Étoile and the local authority and the historical building department, they're all coming together. I guess they've been slightly shamed into it. There is an Englishman involved, Dr. Lickierman, who has been a passionate advocate of the house. And it's been a kind of open sore, extraordinarily, for the last 30 or 40 years. The house has been in dreadful condition. I saw it 20 years ago, and it was squatted at the time. And then it's had a shaky history. Recent years, it's been completely empty. And I think it's been a little bit of an embarrassment to France for this great house, which does have tourists coming to see it. And they turn up and they find they can't get anywhere near it.
Well, the house E1027 will be open to the public from next year. I guess we now wait and see how it finds its way back into the architectural canon.
Absolutely. I think the architectural world is getting back one of its gems. And regardless of what you may think of Le Corbusier and Eileen Gray's relationship, to have these buildings in a group like that, so to have Corbusier's primitive hut, his swimming hut, which is the thing he left on the morning he went out for a swim and died in 1965, to have that adjacent to a restored Eileen Gray house, I think illuminates one of the most extraordinary and intriguing relationships in modern architecture.
Well, Edwin Heathcote, architectural writer and critic, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Links on our website, abc.net.au/rn/bydesign. And on ABC Radio National, you're with By Design.